Cause I came here to dance, I'm gonna put up my hands and stand up, stand up. Cause I came here to dance, I'm gonna put up my hands and stand up, stand up. Get up, get up. Soldiers Unite, you are listening to Right Back At You, the 2000s pop music podcast where we have fun taking pop music seriously. Hosted by... He met a guy at the club at happy hour and said, rain on me, David Lim, and me. Too much of anything can make you sick is what I learn after too many chocolate selection boxes. Joel Babington. Hello, David. How are you doing?
I'm good, JB. I've got three words for you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I was like, what are you going to say? Rack off, mate. Happy New Year, gorgeous. 2025 is here. Feeling fabulous, feeling gorgeous.
Here we go. We are halfway through this decade. Do you think we'll get to a point where the podcast is like, okay, now we're in the 2020s?
Yeah. 100%. I've got to learn about everything in... whenever we get to all that.
Exactly. In 20 years from now, when we're preparing for the episode, you'd be like Googling, Billie Eilish.
Chapel Ron.
Oh, is it Chapel Rowan?
No, Davo, actually, look, thank you. You've helped me enter current times-ish. Because over the Crizzy break, I had your 2024 playlist on repeat. Spotify Wrapped has told me I have not entered past 2009, let alone 2010.
Oh, bless.
Let me get some of this year's music on play before we end that. So thank you. We're in 2025 now. I'm going to touch my toe in a little bit. But yeah, catching up there. Davo, we've been getting some absolutely lovely comments on Spotify, haven't we, following our last episode?
Yes. So we did a surprise drop of our Victoria Beckham This Groove / Let Your Head Go episode just before New Year's. And guess what? Just like Vicky soaring to the charts, so did we, thanks to you guys.
Number three.
In New Zealand.
Like Vicky, in New Zealand. Thank you, New Zealand.
And thank you to everyone that's been listening on whatever platform that you choose to listen to us on. On Spotify, you can leave a comment under each episode, and we've had some lovely ones here. This one's by lovely Lucas Myers. Another fantastic episode, giving VB her long overdue flowers.
Job done. We love you, Lucas, and that means we did what we set out to do.
Yes, absolutely. This one is by Michelle. Is that how you would say it?
Michelle.
Another great episode about VB's best solo era. She should have earned much more success back then. Thanks, guys, for the great job making us relive this golden era.
Do you know what I loved? Carl C., what an episode, her best era. Open Your Eyes is currently number one in my house. We'd love an SEB style comeback. Completely agree. Completely agree. But thank you so much, guys. The love is strong, and it just feels like we're entering 2025 on such a strong note. If you are loving what we're doing, hit that subscribe button, tell a pop-loving friend, and leave us a lovely five-star review. And don't forget to follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms. All right, Davo, from... as you were so disgruntled by Music Week calling one artist a footballer's wife to another, shall we get to where we're going today?
You know, there is a little bit of a theme and connection between our last episode and this one. But you know us. We love our pop girl groups. And we love it when there's a solo project to celebrate. And what a big era we're going to get into today with Cheryl Cole's Three Words, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely huge.
Absolutely huge. So yes, if it's your first time here with us, you're in for a treat because we're going all the way back to 2009. We are diving into all the singles from Cheryl's debut album era, the music videos, the notable live performances, B-sides, album track highlights, the photography. Like, this is us. Really getting into it. A whole project.
If you are new, as Davo said, if it's your first time, we have a backlog of Girls Aloud episodes and Nicola solo episode. But all our Girls Aloud journey has sort of brought us up to this moment, hasn't it, Davo?
Yeah, it feels quite right to be starting the year doing this. We did Out of Control last year. So it's naturally led us to this point where it's like, yeah, let's get into Cheryl's solo era.
She said, whenever you're ready.
Whenever you're ready, I'm ready. So Joel, looking back at 2009, between April and June that year, we had the incredible Girls Aloud Out of Control tour, massive arena tour that was filmed for a DVD release with an accompanying live album. That is the way to do it. Now, by this time, it was already confirmed to the press that Cheryl is working on a solo record. There were sessions in LA with big A-list hitmakers lined up. And also, in the year before, the stage was already being set for solo endeavors, weren't they?
Via a Girls Aloud TV medium.
The Passions of Girls Aloud, which we keep bringing up. And guys, we will revisit this on the podcast soon-ish. But this was the first time we see each of the girls doing their own thing. Cheryl took up hip-hop dancing, and it was here that will.i.am was brought into the picture for the first time. Now, this is a huge bloody deal. You know, I think people forget how big the Black Eyed Peas were in this time.
Yeah, the Black Eyed Peas were absolutely monumental.
Global stars. In the year 2009 alone, they clocked up 3 UK number one singles.
I mean, look, if you're forgetting how big the Black Eyed Peas were and are, you're not so 2008.
You're so 2008. Cheryl was invited to feature on will.i.am's single Heartbreaker, which was part of this Passions of Girls Aloud situation. That was where we had our debut solo Cheryl performance. The single hit number 4 on the UK charts and spent 8 weeks in the top 10, giving will.i.am and Cheryl their first solo hit here.
Now, yes, that was a UK remix, which we will see as a bonus track closer of the album we're getting to today. But as Davo said, that might not be the last you hear of the Passions of Girls Aloud this year on the poddo.
So after 7 incredible years with Girls Aloud, it's time for Cheryl to go solo. At this time, she was only 26.
All our girls have achieved so much at such a young age, and 7 years is such a long time for a band that started life on a reality TV show.
Yeah.
All of our pop bands as well that we highly love, apart from sort of Girls Aloud and the Sugar Babes, the shelf life has been a lot shorter. This podcast has outlived the career of most of our faves.
Yeah, if you come to think of it, yeah. But I was just so struck that she was only 26, and she was, I think of when I was 26, you're so new to the world still, really. You're still finding yourself. But here she is, very exciting point in her career. She's in her second year as an X Factor judge. She won the year before with Alexandra Burke. She's about to do it again with Joe McElderry this year. And it's actually a little bit interesting to go back and look at this turning point, because there was a lot of stories in the media at this time about Ashley Cole, her then husband, cheating on her. This is what I found in a Sunday Times Magazine interview she did in 2009. The journalist wrote, "She didn't become the beloved creature she is today until there was a possibility that she wasn't loved by Ashley. Once it was established that Cheryl was really a victim, people stopped victimizing her. It took something bad to happen before she was seen as a human being." Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, absolutely crazy. And I think what we have and our listeners have are such tapped in pop appreciators. We probably all see her in the same way, pre or post this, just like fantastic, amazing pop star.
Yeah.
But it's mums, dads, cousins.
It's the public perception.
Aunt Susie around the corner that has no idea.
So it really was her having this role on The X Factor, being brought into the nation's homes, really, getting a chance for people to get to know her and see a different side of her, that things change, but also that coinciding with those stories and things like that. I mean, The Guardian called Cheryl Britain's favorite wronged woman. I quote, "The shift in media's presentation of Cole has been remarkable. From a Geordie brawler and apprentice posh spice, she has turned into a beloved young star, forever, quote, in torment on weekly magazine covers, but still able to tap limitless reserves of empathy. The Dianification of Cole means this debut album is the most high-profile pop record of 2009, flop-proof in a way girl group solo records rarely are."
Oh my God.
What a way to set the scene for three words in it.
How do we become the nation's most...
wronged podcasters.
Misunderstood wronged podcasters. We're just trying to spread the joy of pop.
Single tier.
Yeah. It's just so interesting because... yes, they go hand in hand, but we look at it so much one way, you have to remind yourself of the context. So shall we go to October 2009 and Cheryl is unleashing Fight for This Love upon the world? This song was infectious upon arrival. It just came out strong on the scene. It was like you had... however, Artcore said it was flop-proof in a way records aren't, and I've never considered it that way, but it was just like so in your face and you had no option but to love it because it is an absolute banger. We used to run to this on the treadmill and sing along to try and get our stamina up at college.
Oh my God, that's a very Matthew Knowles-style boot camp for Destiny's Child. I love that you were doing it. Yeah, I can just imagine you there. We gotta fight for this love.
Me out. Hey, ho, no heart is getting.
In a lot of ways, this was really the perfect lead single for Cheryl. You've got all this press narrative that we were talking about with her marriage going on. So already, like, this is primed for media attention. People can read into the lyrics so easily. But also, it's such a universally relatable song.
You're right. It has a very, like, on-the-nose narrative, but that isn't a bad thing.
No, sometimes you just got to give it to the people.
It is that way that you instantly connect to it, yeah.
You got to give it to the people, you know. It's don't be too overly clever with it. She's on the X Factor. It's mainstream pop girly time. Let's go. She's picked a pop R&B mid-tempo that really suits her vocals, instantly puts her in her own lane because it's so different from anything Girls Aloud would do. It was written by Steve Kipner. He keeps coming up on our podcast.
Legend.
He doesn't know this, but we love Steve Kipner.
We love you.
Not only do you write Genie in a Bottle for Kagi Agi, also Not Such an Innocent Girl for our VB.
Incredible. And then this, what a holy trinity.
Uncle Steve, anytime you want to come on the podcast, you are welcome. Same with Wayne Wilkins. I also worked with Steve Kipner on Natasha Bedingfield's These Words, but Wayne also did Jordan Sparks' Battlefield.
Oh, banger.
Bit of a theme here. And it was co-written by Andre Merritt, who wrote Rihanna's Disturbia.
I really appreciate as well for debut solo Cheryl, it's not her and a will.i.am feature. Like, it's great that will.i.am's going to be so across the album and really help pushing her as a solo act. But this is just pure Cheryl. As you say, it's touching into the narrative of what's going on at the time. I don't think it bothers us, but I think for her and for it to be so big, it's like a wonderfully paired timing. And I think this song is one of those songs that comes so synonymous with routine. You start singing Fight for This Love, people would start doing the hands.
the chopping hand movie.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. But speaking of visuals, and before we even get to the music video, can we please talk about the single artwork, Davo? Oh,
absolutely stunning. You know I love a black leather cap, and we've got a patent leather cap here. Black and white portrait of our Chez.
Single shoulder.
It actually looks like an old Victoria Beckham, I want to say ID shoot. But, you know, it's still got the signature Cheryl look that you're going to recognise, even without seeing the lovely hair.
Yeah, singular eye, straight to the camera and into your soul. But yeah, I just love this. Paint and black hat, have to have it. We need to get matching pair of those, Devo. I know you've already got like a black leathery one.
Oh yeah, I could always do with another one, yeah.
Yeah. Now let's talk about the music video. In terms of pop star debut, she came out with a bang. This such so cohesive performance and look that we're going to see in the music video that we then see across some iconic performances, Devo. So the music video is directed by Ray Kay, and it shows Cheryl in a military-style red jacket and a black cap. Not the same one from the single cover, but a more of a military-style one.
The colours of black, white and red are such key colours for this album era for Cheryl. You're going to see these three colours come up again. Oh, three words, three colours.
Oh!
I'm getting the mood board. I'm getting the vision. But yeah, these three main colours do come up again with the single album artwork. So it's a nice bit of foreshadowing. It's also like just classic, clean British military kind of style colours, but with a very modern flair. Now, this director, Ray Kay, he had done Lady Gaga's Poker Face video, also Jamelia's Beware of the Dog.
Wow.
Later on, he'll go on to do Girls Aloud Something New.
Brilliant.
This was all shot in a day in London. The BTS thing with T4 and Steve Jones. Cheryl was saying her call time was 5:30 in the morning and she didn't expect to rap before midnight.
No, of course not.
Yeah, you just go for it. I mean, yeah,
that's your one day shoot. That's what you got to make magic happen. So we do see Cheryl in various looks here. One in a simple white vest and biker gloves. And then in another one where she's got these leopard print bottoms. Hello, 2009.
I was actually thinking the sequined animal print joggers, they look like something from a K-pop video. I can see 21 wearing that for sure. I think the brief would have been so much fun to play with. Also, let's give a shout out to the stylist, Victoria Adcock, who's worked with Cheryl since the Girls Aloud days. She would go on to work with Cheryl loads more over the years. But yes, of course, she's across the styling for this video. I'm guessing the brief must be tough, but a little bit street glam. Obviously, you've got the military look that we talked about. The black corset vest with the metal spikes coming out the side. Love that.
And then during this era as well, and touches of it here in the video with the dancers, cut out leotards. This was the time of that. We loved it. Maybe a wet look legging as well. Had to have
it. Oh yes, the wet look leggings were so in. Oh my God. Everyone was doing that with like a spiky stiletto heel.
David, I had to be reminded looking at the visuals of this. Heels had never been higher and they'd never been sort of spikier with little spiky bits coming out of them as well. I don't know how the girlies did it. I do not know how the girlies did it.
But it was edgy and we loved having bits of metal spikes coming out of everything. Like it was just fashion.
Fashion. In so many of these shots, she is gifted with a raft of dancers, really establishing Cheryl as slick, choreo heavy performer here, similar to like when we saw Vicky go solo or when we see other girlies go solo. The ones that are more of the dancers in the group can then really go for it. Cheryl's giving you this more commercial hip-hoppy style routines than she'd ever be able to do within Girls Aloud.
Yeah, so true. Yeah, now the one thing I do want to say about this video and the kind of aesthetic of it, the severe use of lens flares. They love a strong lens flare in this time.
Yeah.
It was really reminding me also of Britney's Till the World Ends video.
Brilliant.
Which was also done by Ray Kay, coincidentally.
Oh, was it?
So, I mean, it must be his thing.
In his budget breakdown, it's like director's cost and then all the equipment and everything, and they go, but we're saving costs because he's got his own lens flares.
He's bringing in lights.
What I thought you were going to say of the time is we do get a lot of the song's lyrics written across the screen a lot in a way that is very... Is this slightly pre-getting lyric videos?
It was pre-getting lyric videos, yeah.
Cheryl invented the lyric video. So yeah, I think if this had been maybe a few years later, maybe first we would have got the song with just the lyrics in the visuals similar to what we get in the video, and then you'd get the full Cheryl music video, Cheryl dancers, everything.
And if she was a K-pop star, some of the solo takes of her just with the dancers, that would just be the performance video version.
Oh, I'd love a performance video cut of this.
I really loved going back and watching this music video again with fresh eyes today, because this is a video I think all of us still see very vividly in our minds because it's so prominent at the time. But what I really noticed watching back was how much Cheryl has grown in confidence as a performer in front of the camera, because what you're seeing in the Fight for This Love video is about a third of what she would serve now.
I think the joy as well of like the past year that we've just had is that it's been incredible more than ever to have Girls Aloud back and touring. When you have a bit of time and you come back, it can go one way or the other. You could be a bit timid, or you can come back and you're so carefree that you are better than ever.
Yeah.
And she had the mixture of the Cheryl we see here, the Cheryl that will continue to grow, but then also such like a fuck it and have fun attitude.
Yeah, exactly. She was just glowing, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, seeing Cheryl perform ever, like you can just tell that is her thing. And it's always a joy to see. Davo, let's talk about some iconic performances. We have to kick it off with X Factor.
I don't know if you'd agree, Joel, but I would say this is one of the most iconic X Factor guest performances of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Just absolutely. For the sheer, first of all, the exclusivity of it. This was the first live performance by Chez. And also just the cultural zeitgeist, the kind of moment in time it was. And we got Sarah, Nicola, Kimberly and Ashley Cole supporting in the audience. Chez comes out, military themed outfit, black, red, designed by Julian McDonald. Oh, what a performance this was. Were you watching this live at the time?
I think this was the one that everyone was watching because everyone just wanted to see. It was like Cheryl's in tonight. Davo, this show also was the evening Whitney performed on The X Factor.
Nobody was outdoors. Everyone was in front of the telly that night.
This event television drew in 14.8 million viewers, making it the most watched episode of the show in history at that time. Cheryl did not disappoint. She's bringing you the military looks. She's bringing you a swarm of dancers.
My favorite bit of choreo, JB, is in the second verse where the dancers came into where she was and they formed a throne behind her and she pretends to sort of sit on it.
Brilliant.
The visuals of that, spectacular. What about you?
My favourite is like the end bit. Anytime there's a little bit of a dance break or a breakdown.
Oh, yes. Stop.
Yeah.
What you looking at? Points at Simon. Loves it.
I think it was Simon or it may have been Louis, but I think it was Simon, like kind of stood up at that point thinking it was the end. They're ready to give the applause. Then we got a last burst of Cheryl. Then it ends. Standing ovation from all our judges. Danielle Jane's up there clapping. I mean, I think this performance and this exposure and stepping up to the plate and then some established this song as a huge number one, but established solo Cheryl. I think throughout this episode, we'll see the solo performances are selective because I think the X Factor schedule is going to make her so busy, but it did also kind of elevate her as that level of artist that's only going to do
the biggest things. Yeah,
the biggest things. So speaking of biggest things, we see this on the Brit Awards.
Oh yes, the 2010 Brit Awards. I mean, by this point, you know, we've already had several months of this song gestating in the public eye. She is right to perform it there, though, because it was up for Best British Single that year. I think I would have loved at this point for her to have mixed in like maybe a bit of Parachute, because that was a new single, or something else from the album just to give it a bit of a twist. Yeah. But the twist that they went for was this surprise mashup with the 90s club classic, Show Me Love. She comes on stage first in a white trench coat, aviator sunglasses. Halfway through, it's suddenly JAY ready. Topless male dancers appear on the stairs. This is my dream right now. Am I in heaven? What's going on? Not heaven, heaven, but heaven, heaven, you know?
Yes. Can't be afraid of the dark. And then the other big performance of this was Children in Need rocks the Royal Albert Hall.
I actually think this is my favourite of the three major Fight for This Love performances. So we've got Chez here in the white version of the military outfit that we've seen on The X Factor. With The X Factor performance, she arrives on stage solo, right? There were no dancers on stage. All eyes was on Cheryl. The spotlight's there. She comes out between the parting screens. That's how you would establish yourself as I'm now a solo star. With Children in Need, you know, the staging's different. She's already on stage with the dancers, ready to go. And they lead with the dance, breakdown, instrumental. Mm. So you get a bit more of the choreo before she starts singing. Also, with this performance, she sounds more in control. The staging is tight. You've got the orchestra in the background. She's got the army of dancers really close to her. It just visually, I think, just looks amazing.
That night, she did also sing Snow Patrol's Set the Fire to the Third Bar with Gary Lightbody. Because as we'll find out a bit later on, she's also a fan of indie music.
Right.
And then my favourite discovery for this episode was actually a remix of Fight for This Love, Sunship Old School UK Garage Remix. Now that is a big thumbs up from me.
This is, you know, we love a Sunship remix here on Right Back Atcha.
Well, interestingly, apparently it was the North America bonus track on the album. I don't think this is US ready. It's so
it's a little ahead
UK
of the time.
Specific.
Yeah. She wants to be the first to bring garage music to the States.
Soldiers, are you ready for this?
So while we're talking about remixes with the single, the physical copy of Fight for This Love comes with a B-side, Didn't I? Give your soul. Now, JB, all the B-sides from this era were only available in the physical single format, but was later released in April 2010 as a three-track digital EP through Fascination Records. So shout out to the team for thinking about that and just being like, do you know what, guys? Here you go. Download it if you fancy it.
Yeah, we still need that streaming. I was really pleasantly surprised that we have a B-side for each of these tracks, Dave-O. Now, this is giving you like a real British R&B pop ballad, I would say.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, haunting piano ballad. I think it's a really nice accompaniment for Fight for This Love. They've both got very similar themes of devotion. Co-written by Chez with Klaus Derendorf, an LA-based producer who has worked with Josh Groban, Al Delta Goodrum, and Steph McIntosh.
Oh, hey! Caliber.
Some very telling lyrics here as well, right? Don't make me justify your every move. Don't want to have to question everything you do. Don't play the victim because the blame's on you. I just need time to deal with what you put me through.
Chez's telling you there. Chez is telling you there.
This is her resentment. I know she was attractive.
But I was here first. This single was monumentally successful. It was a number one smash hit single here in the UK. It sold 134,000 copies in one day.
Wow.
Beating the previous record, which was held by Alexandra Burke's song Bad Boys. Its final first week sales were 292,000 copies, which beat the 213,000 copies of Girls Aloud's Sound of the Underground back in 2002. And it went on to become the fourth best-selling single of 2009. And in the year and decades, it was the 29th best-selling single of the 2000s. It's gone on to sell over a million copies, being the first single of Cheryl's career, including those with Girls Aloud, to do that.
Fight for This Love ended up spending 7 weeks in the top 10, two of those weeks on top of the UK singles charts. So absolutely well done, Chez.
Elsewhere in the world, number one in Scotland, ooh, number one in Norway, number ooh, one in Ireland, ooh, number one in Hungary, number one in Denmark. Hello, Denmark.
Was that the thanks to the Danish X Factor performance? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Number four in Germany, seven in France, 54 in Australia, but 12 on the ARIA dance chart.
Before you come for me,
yeah,
Fight for This Love wasn't actually serviced as the lead single for us in Australia. So okay, it's that's very lovely to have as a chart. So I just wanted to say that before you come for me. Yeah.
All right. I was going to be nice today, but thank you for giving us that anyway.
New year, new me.
New year, new me. I'm the nice one. This was so much more global than I thought it was. Because, you know, UK, Girls Aloud were very UK prominent. Cheryl is so busy on X Factor UK.
Yeah, I really love this push and this belief in our shares. Yeah, I love it. Absolutely love to see it.
All right, well, let's stay in October 2009, Devo, and let's move to three words, the album.
Oh, JB, we need to start with the artwork. This is a work of art. Like, literally, I know the gays say this all the time, hang this in a Louvre, but really, hang this in a Louvre.
You know, she's ready for a wedding with that fascinator, but an artistic, sexy wedding.
It's giving My Fair Lady, but Vogue.
Absolutely, yeah. If Vogue did a musicals-inspired editorial shoot and one was My Fair Lady, this is what it would be. Excellent reference point, Devo.
Thank you, thank you. The kind of slight differentiation between the copies that you guys have here in the UK and the one we got in Australia and international markets is that ours says Cheryl Cole on the top left-hand corner, and on her shoulder with that tattooed-looking effect, it says three words. Whereas here in the UK, you just have Cheryl Cole, three words, across the shoulders.
Yeah, that's all we wanted, all we needed.
Because why do you need to say Cheryl Cole at the top? We know who that is. That's our shares. Everyone knows.
Yeah.
So, JB, this was photographed by legendary British fashion photographer Nick Knight. Now, Nick basically only does the big stuff. He shoots supermodels like Kate Moss. He just did Vicky B's Vogue cover like before, wow, this time, around this time. He rarely does album cover shoots, but when he does, it's David Bowie, it's Bjork, it's Massive Attack, and it's Cheryl.
I wonder how Al Shez got him to do it.
It's Shezza, isn't it? And I'm sure Universal paid a lot of money to secure Nick Knight. The following year, he would go to shoot Lady Gaga's Born This Way album.
Wow.
So absolutely iconic to have Nick Knight involved in this.
What I love as well, speaking of this shot, is for the album advert, it had Cheryl in this setup and look, but in colour. And then it's cutting between snapshots of the music videos, and then it's giving Cheryl, just giving you a little wink and a smile. So it's like the original, you know how people, which I don't agree with, put AI movement to photos. Cheryl gave you the original real life version of that.
Exactly. And that would have been shot separately from this album photo shoot. They just...
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking.
It looked, because from the behind the scenes of the advert shoot, it looked like they set it up just to do this. So lucky someone kept the fascinator.
Yeah. Someone's ringing Joan. Did you pick up the fascinator on the shoot the other day, Joan?
Oh, is it on my kitchen counter?
She's got it on while they call. Oh, I think I've got it somewhere.
Not sure I've seen it. Maybe give Kimberly a ring. She might have taken it, you know.
Sticky fingers, that one.
And JB, guess what? If you loved the photography of this, there was a limited edition box set of the album, the fan edition that was sold exclusively through Cheryl's website.
Wow.
It was housed in a rectangular box. It's got the same CD album version that you can get everywhere, but it's got two postcards, a calendar, and Cheryl Cole black tote bag. Yeah, if anyone out there listening has it, please let us know in the comments.
If you got that sitting in the back of a dusty cupboard, we'll have it.
So Cheryl co-wrote 6 of the 11 tracks on this album. We've got will.i.am serving as the exec producer, but also there are like great top-tier songwriters and producers involved. Steve Kipner and Wayne Wilkins, as we said before, but also Fraser T. Smith, who has worked with Adele, James Morrison's Broken Strings. Tayo Cruz, who was like absolutely huge at this time as a solo artist. Soul Shock and Carlin, legendary duo of producers that's worked with Whitney, Brandy, Toni Braxton, and also our Vicky B, OBE, and Priscilla Renea, aka Money Long. Nobody knows me like you know me. Like, she is such a big solo star now that people forget, like, she's had years of just writing for other people, including Cheryl.
Good on you, girl. One more songwriter name on there, Davo. Daniel and Natasha Bedingfield's younger sister, Nicola.
What a lovely find this was.
Are you the younger sister?
Are you the ma'am?
So shall we jump into highlights on this?
All right, Joel, you got to kick it off. Give us an album highlight.
Can I give you not only a highlight, but what, in my opinion, is the best song on this album? Maybe even better than the singles.
Better than all the singles.
This is what I think is the number one song on this album. Stand Up.
Oh, I knew you were going to pick that one.
Absolute banger. Written by Fraser T. Smith and Tayo Cruz. David, this really reminds me of Sucker for Love by Danity Kane.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I would say this is a better song out of those two.
I would say this should have been a single.
This definitely could have been the perfect fourth single. I wouldn't change any of the singles, but come fourth single time, if you had a bit of budget left, Universal could have put it into this one. Do it as a remix with Tayo Cruz.
So Tayo Cruz wrote two songs for Cheryl, and the other one was the song Break Your Heart. He wrote it specifically for Cheryl, and the label felt it was too similar to Heartbreaker, so he went on to release it himself, and it was a number one smash hit both in the UK and the US.
Wow. What could have been? But also, if it's meant for you, it's meant for you. You know, it's meant for Tayo. It's meant for his moment.
I tried to see if there was a Cheryl recording out there. I couldn't find it. So yeah, if anyone's got that on their PC, send it our way.
But yeah, coming back to Stand Up, this was an instant favorite when I got the album. And it's tucked all the way at the back as well. So
yeah, track 8, What You Playing At?
What You Playing At, Shaz? But you know, it takes you on this journey on this album, and suddenly it's kind of like before the lights come on at the end of the club night, they suddenly drop a big banger.
It's me asleep in GAY bar. This comes on, I'm resurrected, Stand Up.
Literally, yeah. Because it came in and danced and done.
Stand Up!
Absolutely love it. Now, Cheryl said that Tayo Cruz's rap on the track was made up on the spot. You know, it was a very impromptu idea that was suggested by the producer. Cheryl's already in the vocal booth, laying her vocals. It was like, should we have a bit, you know, should we get a rap verse in there? And Tayo just made it up and went for it.
You should get in there. Go on. Give it a go. Just try something. All right, Davo, what's the standout for you?
I've been thinking about this song ever since I heard the album for the first time. It has stuck with me, and I know this one's a real fan favorite with a lot of you guys as well. It is, of course, Rain On Me.
This is one of the best songs on the album.
Truly should have been a single. I know we've already said this twice so far, but this would have been a very solid single. I think if not for the fact that she already had Fight For This Love and Parachute as singles, doing another sort of pop mid-tempo would feel possibly too repetitive. But what a gem of a song this is. Co-written by Sam Waters and Louis Biancaniello, who have worked with Jessica Simpson, your fave. Mm-hmm. And they did this along with Steve Kipner and Wayne Wilkins. The lyrics on here, I mean, it's stunning. I won't give you the pleasure to see me breaking, and that's how you remember me. You're not worth it. I'll get better. Only down for a second. I won't give you the victory. You can just imagine the video, right? It's just cinematic.
And then we could get like a big dance break added of Cheryl and dancers in the rain on the street. Even just a dance duet with her and the guy that she, like, she's in love with. Like a passionate dance in the rain.
Dramatique. Love it. So this was the last track that Cheryl chose to go on the album. She recorded it on the last day of her sessions in LA, and she was saying, you know, she was already feeling a little bit emotional because this journey of writing, recording, creating was coming to an end. But yeah, all that emotion, all that just power going into this song.
So another standout for me, David, is this is one that I think establishes Cheryl as someone that is in the world of an R&B star, and that is Happy Hour. How can I know what you need if you never ask? How can I drive you crazy when I've got no gas? How could we be together when we're so far apart? You tell me that you love me, then you go and break my heart.
This was another instant fave for me as well. It's co-written by Priscilla Renea. I love the rhythmic beat. It's just, I don't know, it just feels very ready for a visual as well. All these songs, I could kind of picture a music video for Cheryl.
Oh, imagine a visual album for this would have been so good.
Like for me, this would have been set in like a Havana style bar. You know, I just imagine her dancing, like sweat gleaming on the skin, margaritas, tequila, you know, it's just...
Yeah.
Sexy in yeah. Brazil.
So Al Sheza said when she got the demo for this, it was originally called Sweet and Sour, and she just listened to the demo on repeat for an hour because she enjoyed it so much.
And again, you know, thematically with what she's going through and what she's presenting on this album, some very honest lyrics about relationships, the push and pull. Why should I be a woman when you've got two more? Why should I say I do when I know you don't?
Whoa.
That's a Facebook status right there.
Yeah.
Now, JB, can I bring a track that I didn't necessarily love at the time, but re-listening to it before this episode today, I really was like getting into it. It's Make Me Cry. If you're trying to lose me, then you're going the right way, boy. I can't take this shit much more. I'm staring at the door. Start to love me like I love you. Treat me good. I give you a god. I love you a lot. Tell me why I should. Oh, if you're trying to hurt me like I hurt you.
This is a bit of you, David. This is R&B. It's disco.
It's quite a peculiar track. And I think the Will.i.am contributions to this album are very interesting. I'm very glad that we don't have a completely Will.i.am album, because I think that could have been jarring. So it's nice to have a mix of other people's contributions and hearing Cheryl sing those types of songs, but also having the more experimental bits that he brings in, like this song. I just find it very interesting because the lyrics are so antagonistic. And she said that the inspiration for the song came from Will when he was in a studio, girlfriend rings him up. He's like, I can't talk right now, I'm in the studio. And then before he hangs up, girlfriend's like, you trying to hurt me like I hurt you? Are you trying to make me cry?
Wow.
And that was how they sketched out the lyrics for the rest of the song.
That is just truth, isn't it? Truth gets you in the studio, makes the best art. So Devo, what I would like to talk about is Boy Like You. Now, this contains a sample of Little Lies by Fleetwood Mac, but this one they're taking Fleetwood Mac to the club. Now, I really like both songs respectively. I don't know if the song actually needed the Little Lies sample, but I guess it's just like such a flex to have it.
It is such a flex to have it, and it kind of works. The synth really does blend well into this kind of minimalist, futuristic club track. If you didn't tell me that was a Fleetwood Mac sample, I wouldn't have known. I actually thought you were going to pick Heaven. My heaven's with you.
You. We really did eat up Will.i.am at this time.
Oh, any old shit. Like, yeah.
We were like, yes.
That big bass song for Britney.
Yeah, I loved that.
Yeah. I can be the treble, baby. You can be the bass.
Oh, at the time, my mind was blown. I was like, that's genius.
Yeah, my humps, anything like that. Like brain rot lyrics. Give it to me.
All I'm going to say, Devo, is I was tapped in on these huge moments, but I think I probably only gave... I didn't really get into the album at the time. I really thought it was going to be... Maybe the single stood out more and it had some filler on there. But this is such a fantastic body of work and an absolute brilliant album. And whenever Fascination's going to press this on vinyl, I will be purchasing.
I know the kind of Will.i.am tracks are a bit divisive and maybe not all pop fans love it. But without the presence of those songs, then I think it would be quite generic. I appreciate the point of contention and the point of contrast in this that, you know, some songs take a while to ingest, as I will probably say with the next single that we talk about. It takes a moment or it lives in a certain space.
And her voice just complements, I think, all of this style of music so much that she gives us on here. So Devo, this album was a commercial and critical success. Peaked at number one here in the UK, selling 125,271 copies in its first week. That's around the numbers we were talking about, A Fight for This Love single. But instead of a £2 single, people are buying that many of a full album in 1 week. I think we need to remember that. That is so powerful. It has gone on to sell over 1 million copies here in the UK, 3 times platinum. In Australia, number 31 on the album's chart, very respectable for the ARIA charts. 15 in Greece, Hello Greece. Number 2
next
in
time
Ireland.
You're on holiday.
Yeah.
Take over the speakers, play a bit of Happy Hour.
Or like a bit of karaoke in Greece. Hey, remember this one then? In the year-end charts here in the UK for 2009, number 11, the huge star power is matching the success in the sales musically as well.
I mean, if there were 3 words I have to sum up this album era, it would be success, sophistication, and soldiers. The soldiers really came out.
The successful, sophisticated soldiers.
Rising like little storm flowers. That's not in this era, is it? The storm flower fragrance.
I don't think so.
They're still to come. I've got so much more in me.
I mean, speaking of fragrances, Devo, do you want to share with the audience what fragrance you got for Christmas?
Yes. Thank you, JB. I have no idea how you found this. No, he did not get me Stormflower, but he did get me the Sugar Babes fragrance.
Sugar Babes by Sugar Babes.
And this was in the era of Jade, Amel, and Heidi.
Yeah.
Sweet Seven era. And which one did you get me? Was it... Hang on.
I think it was Touch, but I can't remember. It was the only one I could find, like, still sealed.
And I spritzed a little bit of it in the flat with you, and it was like... I think we almost passed out. It's just so sweet.
Thank God you made home safely after that.
I know. It was like worse than sniffing poppers. It was like, boom. But thank you so much for that, JB. What a rare find. I need to post that on socials. What was it? Tempt, Tease, and Touch, was
it? Touch, yeah.
Yeah. So you got me Touch.
I think so, yeah. But I'll add Cheryl to the list for future. All right, Davo, I'm going to be a brave little soldier and try and sip on a glass of wine, even if I'm not feeling my best, because our Cheryl's having a night in.
You know, sometimes with memory, it's funny, right? Because I looked at this and I messaged you and I was like, did I know this was happening at the time? Because some of this looked familiar, but I don't think I really deeped in my mind that it was a TV special with other performers, like not a full Cheryl special.
So when you ask me normally, what's your memory? I'm like, 40% sure. This is the most memorable thing to me. I remember actively watching this the night it was on. This was like event television for me. Cheryl Cole's Night In. I've got to see what that's all about. This is something that still lives rent-free in my mind that just pops up every now and then. You know, you have that stuff that like doesn't pay rent, doesn't contribute anything, but it's just there.
Yeah.
So, guys, this was a one-off special that aired on ITV1 in December 2009, hosted by Holly Willoughby.
I feel like this is exactly the same slot as the year before when they did Girls Aloud Party, because this was airing between the X Factor finals.
Mm.
And it was watched by 5 million people. Why not? Everyone was perched.
Performances from Cheryl, fun VTs as you'd expect, behind the scenes of the X Factor, that sort of thing. But there's a whole lot more, Davo, isn't there?
Can you believe Rihanna performed on this?
We have, yeah. Rihanna.
Actual Rihanna.
Rihanna, the lovely Will Young, as yeah. Holly Willoughby says. He then gets an upgrade later, the original reality TV superstar. Will I Am, Alexandra Burke, and Snow Patrol.
Great promo, though, because if you can't get on the X Factor stage to perform, you're still likely to get loads of people watching because this is that in-between bit.
I don't actively remember watching the X Factor before or after. I literally only remember tuning in for this.
You didn't tune in for my husband, Joe McElderry?
I think I did watch. If you don't know, guys, David Lim's number one is Joe McElderry.
He might be number two now after Ben Whishaw, but... It's
for 2009. Do you know what? I did tune in because I remember the whole Ollie Joe.
Yes.
Because, you know, I was in Essex. So like a lot of people were like backing Ollie, but I was Team Joe, you know?
Yeah, of course. Got to stick to
your sisters. Gotta support,
yeah, our sisters. Yeah. it's like the original Will and Gareth part two.
Yeah. But it allows Cheryl to do what she does best and give you performances and give you, you know, our Cheryl is PR pro at this time of her side of the conversation. So then Holly can do the heavy lifting of that bit of the links.
Of the hosting,
and
yeah,
hosting,
and
Cheryl can do the heavy lifting of being Cheryl.
We're not only getting Fight for This Love, a new performance of it here, she's also giving us exclusive first performances of her next two singles, Three Words and Parachute. And boy, the performance that closes the show, Parachute.
Brilliant.
That is the one. I mean, what a time. You're tuning back in. Say you weren't watching it, unlike Joel. You're tuning back in, getting ready to catch up with Ollie Mercer and Joe McElderry, and you see the world first performance of Parachute. I would have been like, fucking hell.
What I loved is it gave the audience a chance to see Cheryl and Alexandra Burke together a year after Alexandra winning.
They didn't talk about their little chart race, though. That would have been quite
not
funny.
Not in this one, no. And I thought this is what it was from. I thought they had like a little back and forth. But
yeah, because it was Fight for This Love that replaced Bad Boys on the number one spot. That would have been so funny to bring up. Would have been 2 weeks for you, wouldn't it, love? But I gotta thank me soldiers for making me number one. No offense, though. You got to sing with Beyonce.
And now I'm the UK's Beyonce. So, yeah, brilliant, great TV booking. But let's stick to December 2009. Three words, the single featuring Will I Am. It was those three words to save my life. It wasn't complicated, wasn't premeditated, it wasn't underrated. Boy, I'm so glad you stayed. It was those three words to save my life.
So we are keeping with the black and white theme that was set out on the album cover and the Fight for This Love single cover. This one is a different photography. This is not from the album shoot. It's kind of giving ITV crime drama, like they're both about to crack a case, you know. Will I Am's like the seasoned detective.
Yeah.
Cheryl's like the new detective that's joined the team.
We've got to figure this out. The final clue is there were three words, Will. But maybe next year on ITV, that can be Cheryl's Night In. Cheryl's Night In solving crime.
So JB, Three Words, the single, was actually the lead single for All of Us Folks outside of UK and Ireland.
That is wild.
And I remember this happening to me in real time in Australia because...
happening to you.
I think because I was already so perched for Fight for This Love and I didn't see any radio support. Suddenly one day I was in the gym at Fitness First and the Three Words music video was on. I was like,
sorry,
where am I? Have I been teleported to the UK? Like, what is going on? Actual Cheryl is playing in my gym. And then within a week or so, I started hearing it on radios. Like the Bloody popular hell. Commercial stations were playing Three Words. And I was like, this is crazy.
So I'm assuming the global push is purely because this one is featuring Will I Am and he's in the music video and all that.
It doesn't have that kind of narrative-heavy baggage that comes with Fight for This Love. I think if you're a fan and you're like the UK public, you're invested in the story of Cheryl Cole and you're going to buy into Fight for This Love more. But for the people that don't know her, this is actually a really cool introduction. I go between hot and cold with this. It's not a song that I would listen to. And at the time, I didn't really love it, but... also, I can't imagine this album cycle without this song. JB, what was your first impressions of this song?
I will say that I think that it maybe shouldn't have been a single. Controversially, I just always find musically, to me, and I do apologise, but I find it a bit jarring to listen to. But it is an earworm. It is an earworm.
That is the weird thing about it. You love to hate it. You kind of question it a lot. It's a love-hate relationship. That's how I would put it. But The Guardian's Tom Ewing described this. I mean, this is a brilliant way of breaking it down. He said, "She's not as full a singer as the belters and divas she presides over each week. But she's an expressive performer. And a less showy backing lets that come through." Yeah. Her showcase is the album's title track, Three Words, built on dark loops of treated acoustic guitar and building into a claustrophobic dance track. It's as brave and novel a song as anything Cole's group have released and shows how good she can be given a more imaginative setting.
Shall we move to music video, or should we say music videos?
Oh, JB, I mean, this is one of those releases where a great music video makes all the fucking difference, doesn't it? I did not know there were two music videos commissioned for this.
No, this was... you sent me that earlier today, and this was brand new information to me.
And I don't think I even saw it at the time, but there was an official, quote, viral version video.
Which we didn't even have things called a viral thing in 2009.
Did we? Did we not? I'm not even sure. But anyway, it was basically, it's like an art project, right? That's done with Cheryl's music. Cheryl's not in this music video. Will's not in it. This is directed by the incredible American photographer and director, Vincent Haycock. He recently did Dua Lipa's Training Season video.
Wow.
Stunning. Now, this is atmospheric cinematic visuals. It's really, to me, sort of channeling Wong Kar-wai's In the Mood for Love.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which
yeah.
is one of my favorite movies of all time. But this is set in like a shadowy karaoke bar.
But yeah, very beautiful. Something to definitely more cinema, which we love.
But I love that the label was like, okay, we've got this budget. Let's create a little buzz around this song through those visuals. And then let's also have an official music video, which is even bigger and even glossier and even more fashion.
So yeah, we have the official video, which is the split screener, and that's directed by Sam. And this has got both Cheryl and will.i.am. We are in a post-Lady Gaga world now, for sure. Beautiful dancers, making the most of the setup, and some gorgeous looks from Al Sheza.
There were some elements of this video that reminded me of Janet Jackson's Rock With You video, which I found out today was also directed by Sam. Now, Joel, we've got Al Sheza in four different looks and hairstyles for this. Do you have a favourite hairstyle?
I think, is it the...
The bob?
The bob. The bob is bobbing. And the it bob is like bobbing. Absolute stun.
That was my fave. My favourite part of the video, the director, shout out to the director, gave this such poetic credence. The middle section in Will's verse where you've got Cheryl and Will in separate screens and both sides are turning slowly and it looks like it's bringing them closer and closer and as he's delivering these really romantic lyrics and the camera continues to slide and then you realise when you get the full picture that they're actually not facing each other.
Yeah, that was really cool. So Devo, again, another B-side from Al Sheza for this single. This one, co-written by Emily Sandé.
There she is.
Here she is.
Sister of the community, Emily Sandé.
Absolutely.
JB, I would just say this is the best B-side that we're going to get in this era.
You're joking
really,
me.
Oh, we're about to fight for our favourite B-sides.
Fight for this love of B-sides. So, Devo, all that hard work in Australia from You and Fitness First did bloody well, didn't it? Number 5 in Australia and number 2 on the ARIA dance charts.
Bloody hell. I really was not expecting this being a top 5 single in Australia.
Number 4 here in the UK, 6 in Scotland, 7 in Ireland, 7 in Italy, 44 in Slovakia, 2 in Poland, and 27 in Germany, 14 on the European Hot 100 singles. Very global from Al Sheza, which we absolutely love. 2 times platinum in Australia. Thank you, David. Silver here in the UK, gold in Italy.
Thank you, Alberto.
Thank you, Alberto. All right, David Ann, let's go to March 2010.
So here we are with the final single from Cheryl's debut album, Era. 2010's already off to a great start. We had the Brit Awards performance. Fight for This Love was nominated for Best British Single there. And off the back of that, she's going to give you another side of the album. And again, like how the music video was so prominent for 3 words, to me, the visuals and the performance of Parachute is so important to the song. What an elegant song this is.
Yeah, and again, another earworm.
It is an earworm.
Another completely different feel.
The Argentine tango beats is so distinct because I think at this time I wasn't like really hearing anything with this sort of rhythm And it was like, again, the tempo, the mood, the lyrics, it just felt like a surefire radio hit.
So Parachute, David, was initially put forward as one of the options to be the lead single off the album. Now, I think Fight for This Love was definitely the right choice for a lead single. It needed that big moment.
It really did. If there was a universe where Fight for This Love didn't exist, then this would have been a lovely debut single.
I don't know if I would pick this as a single from the tracks, believe it or not, but I do think it is brilliant.
I think it's one of my favourite Cheryl songs. Vocally sounds fantastic. It's written by Ingrid Michaelson, who I think for a certain group of our listeners that love 2000s indie, you'd really appreciate that reference.
So, Devo, should we talk about the music video for this?
Yeah, so this video was directed by Alex and Liane, who also did Kylie's Get Out of My Way.
Wow.
Another stunning video. This was shot in Eltham Palace here in South London somewhere. It's a gorgeous Art Deco English manor.
I know, I want to live in that house.
I know, yes, stunning. Yeah, maybe we should go do a video there.
Yeah. I love how it opens straight away starring Cheryl Cole.
It's giving
saying
film.
This is classic film glamour. And the big red lights just shining through, like that strong red palette, mirroring the red lip that
yes.
we see on the single cover. And then a lot of like blacks and whites other than that, Cheryl in her black dress.
The lighting and shadows in this is so atmospheric. I really, really love it. And also opening with Cheryl and Derek Hough doing their dance. It's like, yeah, we want to focus on the dance. We want to showcase her abilities here.
The whole joy of this is taking Cheryl back to her ballroom days. When she was a kid, she was doing, you know, competitions and stuff as a ballroom dancer. So it's just a real thrill, I think, to just show this unique element to her background. And yeah, she may have stopped when she was around 10, but when you're young, that is quite like an intense wee young training in there for her to then return to as someone that is such a natural dancer. What about you? Any favourite moments?
I love the bit where all the male dancers were coming in with their black capes and they're dancing around Cheryl in a circle. It's giving Nosferatu in tango.
Mm.
Also love the bit with the light strips on the dancers' arms. Did you notice the light strips?
I bet that took ages to get that LED right.
Oh, I bet, yeah. They did something similar in Kylie's Get Out of My Way video where the directors had Kylie, I think she had like little lights on her palms, the palms of her hands or something. So when she was doing hand choreography, it lit her face in certain angles.
Clever. I do have a favourite dance move that I forgot about earlier. The time where she's done it as a full backbend, but even beyond a backbend, and the other dancer is just holding her by the back of the neck. We all loved that dance move back in the day. Like, if you could work that into a routine, that was a flex.
This is such a Strictly moment, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's such a shame, because of her X Factor ties, she probably wouldn't have been able to sort of do it on Strictly.
Yeah, there was no Strictly performance for this. But she gave you the version of a Strictly performance in the Cheryl Cole Night In.
What I love is on those performances, you have all the dancers, the layers of the people and the tables behind to give you that cabaret smoky bar feel.
Yeah.
She's like, I will not go anywhere without my tables and people sat on them.
That was such a well set up performance. I think that is one of the most underrated Cheryl Cole live performances that people don't talk about. That particular performance of Parachute.
Yeah. And then speaking of performances, not our Cheryl, but Selena Gomez and The Scene did a cover of it on tour.
There's a Selena Gomez cover of Parachute.
Live, yeah, live on tour.
Wow.
This is the era of Selena in interviews saying how much she loved Cheryl Cole. She was a Cheryl Cole super fan at this time.
She was a soldier?
She was like, she brought the soldiers to the US.
She was leading the troops?
Yeah. Now, Devo, for me, it's the B-side on this track, Just Let Me Go, written by Claude Kelly and Reggie Seance Perry, that is giving me fun, party, grimy track, and this should have been on the album.
Just let it go. This feels like Cheryl doing Britney's Blackout. It's like a Hun's Night Out anthem, but sexy.
Yeah, yeah, she's hot. So no Australian chart position for this. Was it not serviced to you at all?
Weird times, isn't it? Because I wasn't even paying attention to what was being serviced locally because I was just absorbing everything that was happening in real time. Like, I didn't care what was getting played on radios.
Number five here in the UK. That means every single's gone in top five for Scheza of this album campaign. Number two in Scotland, a Scottish number two smash hit we love. Number four in Ireland. Very rare that, you know, Ireland is higher than the UK, so that's fab. Number one in Romania. Thank you, Seb.
Thank you, Seb. Wow.
Romanian first number smash one for, hit.
First number one for Parachute.
Very global still, again, even if it didn't get to you in Australia. Gold here in the UK, 40,000 sales.
So Cheryl was also nominated for Best British Female in the 2011 Brit Awards. So thanks to this album cycle era. And Parachute was also nominated for Best British Single. So get that.
Wow. You know, I think we don't acknowledge that enough in Cheryl's solo career. That straight away, she's in the conversation of, that's what, three Brit noms for, if you put the 2 years together of this album. May 2010, Cheryl does BBC Radio 1 Big Weekend. And then May to July 2010, she supported the Black Eyed Peas on their UK and European tour dates.
Wow, that's huge.
I even remember like seeing it like, you know, in the metro when you'd see like the ads for the live tours and it'd be like Black Eyed Peas, very special guest Cheryl Cole.
Oh my God, get your fucking tickets.
Like, oh, maybe I should go for that. There was no rest. It's not this episode, but October 2010, promise this. So go, 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 getting the next single out in time for the next series of The X Factor.
Oh my God, what a treadmill.
Booked and busy for our Cheryl. What a successful debut album era and cycle, David. And, you know, hopefully our listeners will love this and hopefully we can do more Scheza in the future and more Girls Aloud that we can tap on. We are finding every nook and cranny that we can celebrate within the Girls Aloud world. And I know you guys have been wanting this one. Guys, you have been listening to Right Back At You, the 2000s Pop Music Podcast. If you are loving what we're doing, please do hit that subscribe button. Email our hearts, rightbackpod@gmail.com. You can follow us on all social platforms at Right Back Pod. Hit that subscribe button. Leave us a lovely 5-star review. You can follow me at Dr_Joel B. That's Dr_Joel B. And you can follow him at
Lovely Me.
Until next time, keep going strong, soldiers. Bye.
Bye.